This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to talk about the devastation in the Bahamas. On September 1st, Hurricane Dorian made landfall in the Bahamas as a Category 5 hurricane with winds up to 185 miles per hour. It is the strongest hurricane to hit the Bahamas to date. The storm devastated the Abaco Islands. The official death toll is now at 45, but it's likely to climb as thousands are still unaccounted for and food, water, and medical supplies continue to be a growing need. Joining us now is Melissa Noel. Melissa is an award-winning journalist and Caribbean correspondent. She's currently a correspondent and host for One Caribbean Television, ABC News USVI, and CBS News USVI. And Melissa joins us from New York City. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you give us an update on just how devastating Hurricane Dorian was to the Grand Bahamas and to the Abaco Islands?
So this storm has truly been unprecedented, unlike anything that people in the Bahamas or really throughout the Caribbean region have seen. And we thought 2 years ago when Hurricanes Irma and Maria passed through and really impacted so many islands in the Caribbean region that would have been, the worst ever seen. But it's really coming across that this has caused even more devastation to the Northwest, these two Northwest islands in the Bahamas. And right now, some of the biggest concerns are, the relief management, search and rescue, and the conditions that are in the Abaco Islands and Grand Bahama Island, where you have people that are still unaccounted for. There's an official death toll that's being reported, but then, of course, people on the ground are saying they're seeing much, much more. But of course, officials are working as hard as they can to identify and to find people. But they are overwhelmed because the destruction and people who are hurt or people who have lost their lives, unfortunately, is something that local authorities and local officials just haven't. Are overwhelmed with being able to deal with. So working together with both regional entities in the Caribbean region as well as entities internationally has become imperative in order to get to those who need help and then also to be able to identify those who unfortunately lost their lives. So it is a really terrible situation. I was just on the phone with a woman who is in Grand Bahama Island, and even though she is going through her own turmoil and not hearing from her family in Abaco, she has a nonprofit herself called 700 Partners in the Bahamas on Grand Bahama Island. And she's like, I got to get out there and help. I got to get on the ground. My people need me. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of shows you the spirit of the people of the Bahamas who don't want to just sit by. They want to help too.
I was reading a piece out of CNN, There Is Nothing Here, The Future Is Uncertain, for 70,000 in the Bahamas left homeless by Dorian. And I had to read this twice. 70,000 people no longer have homes because of this hurricane?
Indeed. And that is a drastic and almost staggering. It really is a staggering number, and it just kind of gives you a sense of the scope and how vast or massive the islands of the Bahamas are, to give you a sense of their population. A huge chain of islands, over 700 islands make up the Bahamas, 100,000 square miles. And so for people in those two islands alone that were, severely impacted, you have so many people there that now have no place to go. So it's a what we're seeing now is a really big humanitarian crisis, because of course there are other islands in the Bahamas that people can go to, but being that the country is so overwhelmed by this disaster, there are also going to be other places that, the Bahamas is looking to for help, including the U.S. People are evacuating on ferries out of, Abaco, out of Grand Bahama Island, trying to get into Fort Lauderdale and other parts of Florida, because it is just the massive undertaking of having to deal with this kind of humanitarian crisis. The loss of life, the loss of just livelihood for people every single day is something that is so unprecedented that it's really hard to deal with.
I mean, there are so many levels to this. 70,000 people homeless, and then you're talking about people fleeing and possibly going to Florida, for example. On Sunday, Miami-based investigative reporter Brian Enten was tweeting all day that Bahamians who did not have their visas were actually kicked off of a ferry leaving the Bahamas to go to Florida. But under U.S. policy, Bahamians can enter the United States without a visa by providing a passport. So what is happening here? Is this coming from directly from the Trump administration?
So there has been so much back and forth happening with this. And I think this is an example of what we see. What we're seeing right now happening is the blame game. So the company itself, the ferry company, Valeria Caribbean, is saying, well, we were told that we were able to take people directly there and they would be processed and it would be fine. However, Customs and Border Patrol is saying, no, we let this company, you know, this ferry company know that the ship would need to go to Nassau first in order for proper processing to take place through the border agency and then continue on to Fort Lauderdale. So we're seeing a bit of blame game going back and forth. The ferry company itself yesterday did issue an apologies to the more than 100 people that were asked to come off of the ship. But I think that does little for the people who are, you know, have nowhere to go at this point and are looking for any kind of semblance of normalcy, whether that's, you know, having a warm place to sleep or being able to rest their head at night, having a hot meal. Those are things that, you know, no amount of, like, whatever is happening right now, those are things that bring comfort. And right now, those people don't have that. But what we did see happening is while, you know, the Customs and Border Patrol is saying, hey, we let this ferry company know this, and the ferry company is saying we weren't aware, what we did see come down from the Trump administration was the president stating that, you know, he wants to be very careful in letting in people from the Bahamas and, you know, kind of doubling down on not letting those people in. And, you know, mentioning several things about, you know, not wanting to let, and I quote, very bad people or gang members from those countries into the U.S., which is causing a lot of pushback from people who are saying, hey, you know, right now these people are suffering. This is a major, major humanitarian crisis. You know, let's show some compassion.
I mean, he said the same thing about Mexicans, right? I think he even said, yes, he said they might, quote, be drug dealers.
Yeah, right, drug dealers and gang members. That's the rhetoric that we're hearing time and time again when you have instances of people who need to migrate for whatever the reason is, you know, whether it's, you know, seeking political asylum or just seeking asylum in the U.S., whether it's a natural disaster such as this or anything else. And it's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way, and rightfully so, because, you know, right now it's like you want to see people be able to get help, just, you know, person to person. And so I think in the midst of all of the confusion between the Customs and Border Patrol, who their spokesman said, hey, if these people had arrived in Fort Lauderdale, we would have processed them. You have the spokesperson saying one thing, and then you have the president saying, well, no, we could not let these people in. You know, we wouldn't have let them in because we want to be very careful who we're letting into the United States. So it's causing a lot of confusion.
Right. And it's just so incredibly insulting and really takes away from what's happening and the relief efforts and how to help people. So on that note, Melissa, we have just about a minute left. Can you talk about what people can do to help at this point?
So there are I know one of the biggest things is people want to help. And the ways that the Bahamas Tourism and Civil Aviation Ministry has on their website reputable organizations that you can donate to, because right now they're in grave need of building supplies, you know, hygiene kits, water, those kinds of things. And they tell you specifically what they need. So one of the best ways to help is to go and see what exactly is needed and not to just give what you think may be needed. And the last thing is, the Bahamas, just like many countries in the Caribbean region, their lifeblood is tourism. So if you have a trip booked to the Bahamas on one of the islands that was not impacted, please do not cancel your trips. One of the best ways to help the Bahamas is to go. Tourism, to keep the country's economy going. There's 14 islands of the most popular destinations in the country that have not been impacted. So you can go anywhere from Eleuthera to Nassau to the Andros Islands and still enjoy your vacation, and you'll be contributing to the country's economy that really, really needs it at this point.
And based on your reporting and what you've read, is there anything else we need to know about that maybe deserves more attention in the media at this time?
I would say that just like many other Caribbean countries, you have, of course, the Bahamians that are suffering, and we need to pay attention to that. But we have a lot of other groups that are part of CARICOM nations who are in the Bahamas. You have a major Haitian group that are there. You have Jamaican groups that are there. You just have people from all over the Caribbean who call the Bahamas home, and want to make sure that when we're reporting on stories about how people are impacted, reporting on how people have come together throughout the Caribbean, how nations are really working together. That's one story I haven't really been seeing, I don't think enough of, but how the region has responded to this crisis, because we're seeing this happen over and over again. So the want to help not only respond but help to mitigate some of these things moving forward as a region is something that's really important, and I'm seeing a lot more Caribbean nations really focus on doing. So we've been seeing a really big response in that regard.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for your reporting. Thank you for joining us, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Melissa Noel is an award-winning multimedia journalist and Caribbean correspondent. She is a correspondent and host for One Caribbean Television. She won a Salute to Excellence Award from the National Association of Black Journalists for her feature on Jamaica's Barrel Children, and you can find that video online. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show, and if you want to learn more about how to help in the Bahamas, you can go to yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Kevin Vance, our studio engineer, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.